Welcome back to the Crossroads of Liberty podcast.
Hey guys, so today we have a special guest on the podcast. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, I'm Dave from the Capcom show.
He is Joey's friend. Don't know how we met.
And James' friend.
And mine.
Okay, apparently I'm the only one that doesn't know him. Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about the police state and various topics related.
So I guess for anyone that doesn't know, a police state is when the government does stuff. No, I'm just kidding. That's it.
That's socialism, bro.
What's the difference?
Exactly.
Good point.
But
okay.
So it is essentially the state.
It's a totalitarian state controlled by a political police force that secretly supervises the citizens' activities.
You can couple that with the militarization of police. That's basically it. So, and then the special privileging of cops over citizens.
Such as qualified immunity.
Yeah.
We all know that cops are better than the average person, so.
Yeah.
It's a big fact.
I mean, should they be a protected class? I mean, don't they, like,
no.
They prioritize low IQ people, so does that make them retards?
Yeah.
What's the IQ limit? Like 130 or something? You can't have an IQ above 130 or something?
Yeah, there was actually a Supreme Court case in the year 2000 that says that police departments are allowed to legally discriminate against people for having an IQ too high.
Yeah.
Bro. Right in.
Because they knew that if the IQ is too high, they're gonna start questioning their orders, and you know they can't have a rogue police officer.
I shouldn't arrest this black man for marijuana possession, or some shit like that.
Wait, why am I shooting this dog again?
Why am I busting down this front door? Well, you know,
because the paper says so. Sometimes they have a paper. Sometimes they don't.
Sometimes you don't even need a paper. You just need the judge or your boss telling you it.
Well, there was actually
this dog. Okay.
There was actually a video that came out. I think it was in Boston where these cops like claimed they had a warrant and they went into the house, and then later the homeowner, he was recording it, and he was like, "Hey guys, like you're not allowed to go down there. Can I see the warrant?" And they look at him and go, "All right, we lied. Okay, we don't have a warrant. Now let
Seriously?
Us do our job." Yeah, yeah. They straight up like said on camera that they lied about having a warrant so they could get into the person's house.
Wow.
I mean, I would have just asked to see the warrant, but whatever.
No.
That's what he's saying.
You asked to see the warrant, and then they shoot your dog.
Yeah, but I'm glad I didn't have a dog when the fucking feds decided to show up at my house. I'm really glad.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
Yeah, we should have just on his head the doormat that says, get a warrant.
Yeah.
So,
of course, I don't like that either, because it's still appealing to the state.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want to talk? Because
I suppose we could. I mean,
no, I just know that.
Well, like, I mean, regardless of the actions or whatever, I mean, what they're doing is, one, unconstitutional. Two, it goes against, like, their entire fucking job. Like, I don't know why Border Patrol has to go to fucking Portland. But, you know, whatever.
Portland has borders.
Well, okay. Yeah, they fucking called in, what, like, the Border Patrol and...
It was, borders, yeah.
Nice, my bad.
Yeah. And
you know, it's crazy though. I actually seen, because I live in southeast Michigan, right?
And, southeast video, Asia.
No, Michigan, and I saw a video like a week or two ago of normal cars. It was very similar to the ones that like were abducting people in fucking Portland, and their badges were covered, but they were in normal vehicles. And it was,
yep.
I'm just like, oh great, the feds are here.
You don't even know it's the feds until they just decide to jump out of their car and grab you.
My car has free anarcho magazines. I'd go for what? Some you know, anarchist cookbook, all the fancy magazines.
Oh, I have that.
Yeah,
that's you it. Get a second copy
if you pop in. All right, no candy for Sean. Just theory, but yeah. not real theory. He won't read it. Just
yeah. Fake theory.
But books with pictures in it, like the anarchist cookbook, works yeah. for.
Man, picture books hit different. Anyway, so police state.
My whole thing with police brutality is that I think at least the community level, they need to start justifying intervening in police activity. So, for example, like what I mean is the whole George Floyd thing, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's fucking on their phone, standing around, just recording exactly what the cop's doing, and no one actually does anything. The whole thing is, I'd rather have an unjust incident stopped and have no recording of it than have it continue and there's a shitload of recordings.
Yeah, like I was surprised that even like my grandma was saying, like all these people say like oh we care, and my grandma's like, you know, like my grandma's like a bootlicker, like for the most part, like I mean that with respect. She's a nice woman, but you know she has her faults in terms of like government and all that stuff. But she was saying like I would have been fine with that incident, someone jumping in and like kicking the shit out of the cop or someone shooting the cop. I was like, whoa. And like, honestly, she's not wrong
to normalize that.
Yeah, like oppression is oppression no matter who it's from, and that's it's as simple as that, really. I mean do what you gotta do.
I mean, even if people like what you know, just you know, normal pullover and someone's like seizing their fucking drugs, I would love it if just a whole bunch of cars stopped and be like, all right, what the fuck's going on? Oh, you know, we're stealing his fucking drugs. Pull out their guns. No, you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
fucking leave them alone and leave. You know, yeah, what is the cop going to do? They're calling call back up about that. I mean, that's the whole thing is they got to realize just how many people. The cops are going to have to shoot in order to enforce this stupid bullshit they do.
Yeah. Like, if you think about it, well, not even, like, if you think about it, this is a fact based on their
budget. I don't
think
about budget. Anything.
Okay. For the DEA to enforce, get rid of all the drugs, quote unquote, and like to actually do their job completely, that would take up their entire budget. So
it's a fucking scam anyway. The entire idea that you can
and that was only for
the market, you know.
That was only for Los Angeles to enforce like the drug war.
Dude,
to its full potential would take up their entire budget for Los Angeles alone.
There was a Tom Woods did a good video on the military economics of the police state is what it's called. And in the mm-hmm. video, he's explaining out the study basically where cops knew all of the drug dealers, like all 38 of them in a specific geographical area. Right. And then they all in one day or whatever, they went and cleaned them out. And then for the first week, they couldn't find any heroin on the streets. Right. Mm-hmm. By the second week, new dealers started propping back up again. And by the end of the month, there was exactly the same amount of heroin on the streets as before they did anything, and they had no idea who were supplying it. So the entire idea that you can just fucking prohibit something, and then the market's just going to be like, oh, yeah, we're not going to want anymore. I mean, it's just fucking stupid. They clearly know it doesn't actually serve a real good purpose, or it doesn't work. They just use it as an excuse to scare the public and to get more fucking militarized.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. I mean, fear is the state's number one tool.
Exactly. Unfortunately, and people keep fucking buying into it.
Yep.
Oh, the fear sales,
but who's buying? Everyone.
Yeah. And well, that.
Dude, there was a meme going around it. There was a meme around that the fucking feds in Portland stealing people. Mm-hmm. And there was a big crowd. These are the same people who should be in charge of my health care.
Yeah, I want you to run my health care. Yeah.
Stay out of my womb, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's not like, funny. That's the problem.
Well, yeah. You know, we'll have no more guns. Oh, no, they're using guns to oppress us.
Oh.
I fucking hate all these. Like, so I'm in a group called Wow, That Is Violently American, right? And it's an extremely, it's all left-wing group, like all really hardcore liberals. And there are some left anarchists in there, but they're the minority.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of fucking mental gymnastics you gotta do to fucking say, we should defund the police. Also, we need more gun control. Like, are you, and the whole idea that, oh, cops are only bastards if they enforce shit I agree with. Like, no, they're still bastards. And that's, I fucking hate people who do that. It's like, you're not going to be able to enforce this without a police force, an accurate, an armed one. So you're, the whole thing is you can't have all these big government programs and without having a big government police force to back it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because where would you get all the money if you didn't?
Exactly.
It's funny for the
cognitive?
Yeah.
Brain machine, no work for Sean.
It never works, bro.
Yeah, see, my whole... another thing, too, I that people don't even realize is that there's nothing in it. Like, you need a badge and a uniform to do that's morally good. Like, I see a cop, I saw a cop a while ago, they used their push bumper to push a guy in his car that stopped working off the road. Like, congratulations. You don't need to be a cop to do that. Or I saw another one helping a guy with his flat tire. Congratulations. You don't need to be a cop in order to do that. But you damn well need a badge and a uniform to get away with fucking no-knock raiding, Duncan Lemp and shooting him and his girlfriend in his sleep.
Yeah.
Or fucking stealing people's or homeless people's food and clothes and shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's all the bad shit that you need a fucking badge and a uniform for.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing when it comes to people. It's usually left anarchists the most because I mean, if you tell a status that you want to get rid of cops but you want private security, they're like, oh, well, at least they have some kind of security. But and comms are like, oh, so they'll do the same things that cops do, except they're just private, so that makes it better. Or there's that one meme, and it's like a guy with like a there was something on him signifying he was an ANCAP. I forget if it was like a little flag on his shoulder or something, but he was being pinned down by like a cop, like a state cop, and he was like, no, my government oppression. And then to the one next to it was a private security officer, and he was like, oh, well, at least it's not the government. And the biggest misconception there is that they wouldn't be able to do the same thing. Like, private security officers in a stateless society, they do the same, they have no more rights than an individual, because an individual has a right to use force against initial aggression on behalf of them or someone else. Like, if I see someone getting robbed in the street, I'm allowed to go over and stop the aggressor. Yeah. Police, well, private security officers, would be tasked to do the same thing. It's just that they get paid to go around and do that, as compared to just having to be a bystander that happens to see it. Yeah. But they don't have some kind of authority. Like, all the things with the war on drugs, this is another good point, is even if... let's say even if private security officers did have, like, the authority to just go around and lock people in cages for having a plant on them, in a stateless society, who would pay for that? Who's exactly going to be like, I'm going to give you the money so you can go around and rough up, like, a 19-year-old with a joint in his pocket?
Who isn't doing anything to me, you know?
Yeah. That doesn't sound too very profitable to me.
Sean might, actually. Sean might.
Yeah.
Well, Sean sounds like a dick. Another thing that, too, needs to be mentioned is that private security already outnumbers public police. I think it's by ratio of, like, 4-1 or 5-1. And private security right now already does, like, over $34 billion a year.
Wow.
And how many abuse stories do you see of private security Well, as much as you do police.
One every year or so.
Well,
like one.
It's just the corporate media. They're not gonna let that like get out, and they're just lying to people.
I'm sorry. Like I don't. You're so against privatization that you don't attack private companies as much as you would like to. That doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's absolute insanity. And then not even just like mall security officers, which is what most people think of when you say private security guards. Like, oh, you want mall cops? But I don't know if you're familiar with, but threat management up in Detroit. I think they're the best example of it working. They and apparently the company itself has been around for like 20 years. And in that 20 years, they have not had one fatality of someone that was in their custody, and not one of their officers ever died. So in 20 years, not one fatality in Detroit, which is insane.
Exactly.
They haven't even had any like wrongful force claims. They've had no complaints in their 20 years. But basically, they only really got big in, well, not they got big, but there's like six companies that do this now, if not more, in Detroit. And it all happened in 2014 when the city went bankrupt. So they had to lay off a bunch of their cops, and then they underpaid the rest. So most cops left because a lot were fired, and then some were able to find better paying jobs one town over. So not many cops remained. So private security firms started to pop up. And now they protect these numbers are from 2017. So it's even higher now. But at that time, they protected 100,000 people and 60,000 businesses, and the number is even higher now. And they don't enforce any victimless crimes. Like, there's actually a video with the guy from threat management, and he was like, "My job is to make sure you're safe. So if you're like parking your car somewhere, it's not my job if you're smoking. It's not my job if you're drinking. It's not my fault if you have weed in your hand. My job is to make sure that you park and get out without someone hurting. That's all I care about. Anything else, if the cops want to deal with it, that's up to them. Not my job. My job is to protect my customers, and that's it."
I would say that's another thing, too, that should be – this is the kind of argument that people should be bringing up to cops, too, regarding more so privatization, is because their cops, their security is safer because you're not putting them in so many confrontational examples. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And there's also Warren versus DC, that it's not even their job to protect us. No one even knows about that.
There's more than that. I have a whole list on my phone.
I'd love some more. The only one I know of, three. I forget what the third one is, but there's Warren versus DC, and then there was the subway stabbing in New York, and there's one more that I've heard of. But if you have even more than that, yeah, I'd love to see them. Those are the only ones that I know.
Let me list them real fast. I just gotta find them on my phone.
In the subway one, there was a guy who went on a stabbing spree and stabbed like 24 people.
Pete Quinones did a podcast episode with that guy.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
He also did a podcast with the guy from Threat Management in Detroit recently. Yeah. But I got to check out that one. But he was in a subway car, and the cops saw the stabber and was like, "Oop." They were like, "Who are you?" And he just goes, "I'm the police." So they just watch him, and surprise, he starts stabbing a guy. And I guess the dude like watched some UFC, so he knew like what a double leg takedown was supposed to look like. So he just kind of took the dude to the ground and was able to get the knife out of his hand. And then once he got the knife out of his hand, the cops rushed in, arrested the dude once he was no longer like a threat to them. And then just left this guy bleeding out on the floor. And some guy that he calls Napkin Man, that had a bunch of napkins, was able to pack his wounds till an ambulance came and brought him to a hospital. And he sued the city. And they were like, "Nope, not their job to protect you. You have no contract with them." And then it was the next up. And they said it too. And then he like went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And they were like, "Yeah, it's not their job to protect you."
Oh, I actually don't think it went up to the Supreme Court.
Oh, well, it went to like a high circuit court or something. It went high up.
Yeah. It was a circuit court. That case, I have the list in front of me. That case in New York City with the stabbing and everything, that's Lozito versus New York City. And the other cases are Warren versus District of Columbia, Lynch versus North Carolina Department of Justice, Castle Rock versus Gonzalez, Bowers versus DeVito, and the Shaney versus Winnebago County.
Yeah, the really crazy one about, I believe it was Warren versus DC. That's where it was the two women, right?
It was the three women, actually.
Yeah, it was like three women. They were in their house and someone like broke in and they called the cops and the cops came up and knocked on the door and left and these women were like raped and tortured.
Yeah.
Is that, yeah.
And the police came and then they fucking like did nothing and then left.
Yeah, they just like knocked on the door and walked away. No investigation or anything. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, actually, in her, I forget what the name of that is. No, what's it called when they write their, it's not a dissertation, but when they write like their opinion on the case, their judgment, I guess, or whatever it would be.
Yeah.
Well, in her judgment that she passed or whatever, she said that, since they were, this is like crazy coming from Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the leftist idol herself. She said that the police had no duty to protect these citizens as they had no independent contract. But if those were two independent contractors that she called, two private security contractors that she called, and they did the same thing, they in fact would have been guilty with negligence. So she straight up said herself that if we had a private security system, they would be held accountable for negligence. But since it's government police, it's not their job.
What a shock.
Who would have expected?
Like, I wouldn't admit like the leftist queen herself to straight up say that. But no, she did. Like, out of everyone... What?
You have cancer now?
She's been on death's door like too many times to count that honestly... doesn't matter.
She built a box there. I don't think she's gonna die. They probably just keep shooting her up with little kid blood. She's gonna go forever. Whatever rituals they're using to keep the royal family alive in England, they're using for her.
Crazy.
Yo, Sean, can we use some of that stuff for us and keep up with them?
Sorry, guys. It's only for rich, influential people that have been on.
How are you so poor?
They don't pay them for it.
I mean, I do this out of the goodness of my heart. I love keeping reptilians alive.
Oh.
And then they also say, if you stop paying us, you go to the hunting game.
Yeah. So it's either I give some of my blood or I die. You know.
Rich businessmen hunt you down for a sport and drink it anyway.
Yeah, so I think this is a good deal. No death.
My blood would be full of too many chemicals. They wouldn't want it. To get drunk and high.
All right, off. We're getting off topic.
Yes, we are. let's get off Ruth Bader Ginsburg being a baby eating alien, and let's get back on a police state.
Yeah.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg is a piece of shit for wanting to for acknowledging that. Well, I guess she's actually a hero by my standing by saying cops have no reason to protect you. At least she acknowledged it.
Yeah, she straight up said like it's not their job. They had no special the cops had no special contract with that individual. So therefore, they owed them nothing.
That's the whole idea that there's no contract. Well, there's no fucking contract between a citizen and the government, really. If there
well,
is,
there's
actually
the social contract.
That's the thing.
It only goes one way though.
Yeah.
It always goes one way.
Contracts do.
Nobody applies this logic consistently. This is like saying that a woman that getting raped in this specific neighborhood consented to it because she was in that neighborhood that the rapist lived in. Like, that's stupid.
I mean, I think that's the logic Joe Biden used.
Yeah, that would be. Fucking creepy, Joe. I think I have the book, actually. But Michael Humer's book, what is it called? His book.
That's probably what it's called if it's written by Joe Biden.
No, book Michael Humer. Oh, The Problem of Political Authority. Michael Humer did analysis of explaining why the social contract is bullshit.
That's in my Amazon cart.
Do you
recommend it?
Yeah, absolutely. It is a fantastic read.
I have over like 100 like political books and things like that in my Amazon wish cart. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I've only completed in terms of politics, two books. Both are by Larkin Rose. I finished his biggest one, which was Kicking the Dragon. And then I finished his latest one, which is Parasites on Parade. I have never actually finished The Most Dangerous Superstition.
Well, I can tell you that The Iron Web, which is the essentially the same thing, just with less political words.
It's the story one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the novel version of The Most Dangerous Superstition. Fantastic book. It's such a simple read. Like basically all of this stuff is just so simple. Like he really doesn't try to sound like all high and mighty with what he's saying. No, he just keeps it short and sweet.
It's not written like Anatomy of the State.
Yeah.
I mean it basically is. I mean, like, Anatomy of the State was really easy to read too.
Well, I mean vocabulary wise, because I've shown that to a lot of people and they're like, I had to look up every other word.
Yeah, and Anatomy of the State's a little bit more of a difficult read.
I enjoyed it, but it was like the second book I read after Freedom by Adam Kokesh.
It's the language that's hard for people to get who are not familiar with political language.
Yeah, he used a lot of big words. I mean, exactly. I didn't have any trouble with it, but I've recommended it, and I've had like maybe three people. I haven't gotten enough people to actually even open the first page, but out of the people I have, I got like three people to be. I didn't have too much trouble with it, but I know a lot of people. But English was always my best subject, so I guess that's the one area.
English was my worst subject, so maybe that's why I have a hard time reading political books.
Yeah, I don't have much of an issue. I also appreciate like interesting writing style. But like one guy that I started reading recently, I mean everyone here is going to know who he is, but Max Stirner, The Ego in Its Own, just like
yeah,
the way that he talks, interesting, like the phrasing he uses and the way that he like frames his sentences. It's just really like, I don't know. It's just really interesting. It's like introspective and poetic, and yeah, I guess poetic is probably how I would describe. Very poetic writer. Like he made political philosophy very poetic,
which is weird because he's always seen it this, you know, fuck everyone kind of attitude.
Oh, he is, but he does it poetically.
Yeah, he does it. Like, he does it with style.
Yeah, like the way that he talks. Like one of his big quotes is all is nothing to me, or all things are nothing to me. So even that, like the way that that's like sort of like a poetic phrase, that's how a lot of stuff is written. So his thing is like everything I lay my eyes upon, including you, is my property, where I respect nothing, treat my property as I wish, and everything I see is my property. My only interest is in myself. Everyone works in their self-interest. God works in his own self-interest. The world is his, so he works in his self-interest. And humankind works in humankind's self-interest. So why shouldn't we as individuals live for ours? And he just like speaks poetically the way that he writes. But no, he definitely is like, I don't care about anyone. They could all die tomorrow and I don't care. Well, no, he actually doesn't want anyone to die. Well, he probably wants some people to die. But he always says, he was like, you owe me nothing just as I owe you nothing. The only reason that we communicate and the only reason we interact is because we have something to benefit from each other. Like, you have a friendship to gain from me. I have a friendship to gain from you. That's the only reason we communicate. If neither one of us had anything to gain, we wouldn't interact with each other. So he basically makes an argument that explains everyone's human interaction actually is egoism. Like, that's almost how he kind of writes, where it's basically the opposite of egalitarianism is basically what he stands at, which I've argued before I even knew who he was. I actually argued with one of my teachers in like 11th grade that I don't think altruism exists. And he was like ever? And I was like, no, I don't think anyone can do something purely to help someone else. I think they always benefit, because if you donate all your money to charity, you feel really good. It makes you feel good inside. You feel like a good person. You think you're helping someone, And if you're someone who cares about virtue signaling, it makes you look good to other people, which would be important to you.
How do you know that's their incentive?
Because I can't see someone just, because pretty much anyone that I've ever heard that helps people, if you say, why do you do that? They say, it makes me feel good to help. I'd say that's the incentive.
I don't do good shit, and I
would argue that you doing something good and knowing you're doing something good makes you feel better than doing something bad. Because if you did something bad, you probably wouldn't feel very good. You'd get a bad feeling of guilt, and you want to avoid that feeling. So by avoiding that feeling, you're helping yourself.
When people talk of incentives,
Joey and I will tell you that incentives do not have to be physical or monetary. It can be anything that compels you to act in a way. Incentive.
That's basically what I've always been telling Keith is like you don't have like profit in itself is not a monetary thing.
It's commonly only used when it comes to currency, but profit can also mean any other form of exchange.
Yeah.
And then, so my teacher, he asked me another thing, like, he was like, oh, so what about someone who, like, there's someone that's in the middle of a road and a car is about to hit him and they jump out and push him out away from the car. It's like, I would see many reasons that could benefit someone. One, they know that they're going to go down as a legend and they know they're going to be seen as a good, they know they're going to be seen as a hero. That's always cool to be seen as a hero. They think the other person matters more than them and they would rather that person live, in which case they're thinking, everything's better off. That makes me feel better because I think this person deserves to live more than me. I think that there's always an incentive. I don't know. I'm not saying there's always an incentive to do I'm not going to say every right thing. Like, there's always an incentive. But I'm saying that I think if someone actually acts on something, it's in their self-interest. Because I don't see it being really any other way. I mean, like, if you help someone, you're going to feel good that you helped them. And if you're not going to feel good for helping them, you might feel guilty if you don't help them. So you're helping them simply to avoid that guilt. Mm-hmm. Like, I would say even eating or, like, drinking water, breathing is in your own self-interest. Anything you do that keeps you alive, unless you don't want to live, suicide can be in your self-interest too.
I got it. How would you apply this to sociopaths or psychopaths that don't empathize?
Well, they empathize with themselves.
Yeah, I was gonna say they also do everything for gain. I mean, they just don't have like there's actually been studies coming out recently that's actually different. Whereas everyone always said sociopaths or psychopaths don't have empathy, they don't have sympathy. It's actually been shown. I mean, all that stuff is it's the outcome of this, but it's actually been found. This was one study, so don't take this as the only authority on this. But one argument that someone made is that it's not that psychopaths don't feel any of those things, or like they have contempt for people. I mean, sometimes they do; those do go hand in hand. But like the main thing that makes you a psychopath is they don't feel fear. Like the part of your brain that gives you fear, you don't feel it. So you're gonna go kill someone. It's like, I'm not scared of being caught. I'm not scared of them hurting me back. I'm not scared of someone coming after me and taking me out. But I would argue that they are purely working for self-interest. The only thing is, like, if I don't kill someone, like, let's say someone has a lot of money, and if I killed them, I got that money. It could be in my self-interest to kill them and get that money. But me, as being who I am, as believing in things like the non-aggression principle and just thinking that I just don't enjoy hurting people. So for me, hurting someone or killing someone or stealing something gives me less of a benefit than the negative I would feel for what I did and the fear I would feel of. I mean, the fear of being caught really isn't what bothers me. It's just that, like, I didn't do much. I did, like, three things, and then I put up a bunch of stickers. But I did, like, three spray painting things, like, years ago. And I think the statute of limitations is up, because I looked it up in Jersey, because I was a little scared. And the statute of limitations is up. I still feel bad about it. because I damaged someone's property. It makes me feel bad that I damaged that person's property. Obviously, I didn't have all the viewpoints I now, and I didn't feel the same way. So, I mean, I know why I did it, but it makes me feel bad that I did that. And the reason I don't do it now, there's many times where I would be able to spray. I got pretty good. There's many times I'd be able to do some kind of like street art and not get caught. But the good feeling I would get from seeing my art somewhere and knowing other people are seeing it is less than the bad feeling I would get for knowing I damaged someone's property. Therefore, I don't do it because out of all of my self-interest, I would get a stronger negative feeling than a positive feeling. So I don't kill someone to take their stuff because the negative feelings I would get and the possible punishment is greater than the benefit I would get from doing the act. So I would argue that sociopaths and psychopaths, like me feeling bad about doing that, they don't have that, but then it's all just what they can gain. And they don't really look at the negative side, but I would say they're still arguing in their self-interest. Their self-interest just operates differently than ours does.
Interesting. Yeah.
So I guess basically what I'm trying to say is I'm an egoist, and mm-hmm. I think that I've actually thought about this, if this is what I would consider myself. Because if you actually, another thing that Stirner says that a lot of people don't kind of, that a lot of them like push over, and they say, oh, he thinks everything's a spook. He kind of does think everything's a spook, but the thing is, he says that if believing in or supporting a spook benefits you, and you know it's a spook, you can totally do that. Like, if you, let's say that, like, for example, he would argue that private property is a spook. I say, oh, that house over there is mine. And he says, all right, well, I'm going to walk into it, and there's nothing you can do about it. So I guess you claiming that you own it doesn't really matter much, huh? Because if I just walk in it and shoot you, if you try to come in it, well, I'm still in it. So you claiming you have it really doesn't matter. You could say that like all these property things are spooks, or you could try to argue that. I wouldn't agree, but you could say that like private property is a spook. But at the same time, I could also understand that private property rights and the non-aggression principle is the most efficient, beneficial, pragmatic way to run a society. So it benefits me to be in an anarcho-capitalist system or an anarcho-communist. So I can be an egoist as doing things that serve my best interest while also thinking the anarcho-capitalist system is best, while also enjoying charity, while also liking to help people. So you can be an egoist that just does everything for your self-interest, and you can just have what some people would call noble as your self-interest.
Okay, so I got a question for you since you've read Stirner.
Not a huge amount, but I know some of it. I'm not going to be an advocate for he says, but I'll see what your question is.
Okay, so does he actually believe in might makes right, meaning physical actions justify their result no matter what it is?
I also wonder that, and I haven't read enough to spoke on it to speak on it, but from other egoists that I've spoken to, well, I've heard two different answers. Some I've asked, they claim that I forget how it. I actually asked Scary about this. Scary Revolt. I actually asked him about this because that would have been my biggest holdup from egoism. Like, the reason that I was against egoism as an ideology is the concept that this isn't under is that this is an acceptable thought pattern in egoism. This is what I thought it was. Oh, I could really go for some sex right now. That girl's kind of hot. I bet I could rape her and not get in trouble. And then you do it, and it benefited you. So. Unless someone else is strong enough to catch you, you're fine. Like, the fact that there not being any, like, oral avoidance to that is what I was, like, not into. But I heard a few arguments for that. One, a lot of people, even if it was legal, wouldn't kill people. And some egoists see that as the case that humanity actually is good over. Because most people wouldn't do a lot of terrible things, even if it was legal.
That's sort of a cop-out, though.
Yeah, I agree, which is why I don't think it's the final answer. But supposedly, another thing that Stirner said was to fully realize, like, violating the ego of someone else, stopping them from realizing their own ego, I forget how it was, but supposedly that's bad for your own ego. Like, so that's like kind of their one rule, is like going out and violating someone else's ego is bad for your own. Like I said, I haven't read enough of him to argue that, and I don't want to say, I don't want to put words in his mouth or put words in anyone else who claims to be an egoist, but I've basically heard that, like, most egoists I've heard, they really don't fly that way, from what I've heard. But I don't, like, okay. that thing I said when I'm an egoist that believes in anti-capitalism, that was kind of like a metaphor a little bit. I don't know enough about egoism to consider myself one, but from some of his ideas, I do think that you could understand, because the thing is, if you like, from a purely physical standpoint and from a purely logical standpoint, if you get rid of morality and everything, might does make right. I mean, it doesn't make right, but it does win.
Might just makes what is.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily think that it's right, but if there's some dude on the street and I walk up and shoot him, you could have every rule out in your head on why that's wrong. He's still dead. I'm still alive. So it is a little made up. It is kind of something in the mind that makes us think and act a certain way. So I don't think it's right, and I don't think you should do it, and I don't think it's an efficient or beneficial way to run a society. But in the truest sense of the word, if you remove as much humanity as possible, if you can do something, it can be done, and no theoretical or philosophical rules are going to stop it. If you can do it and someone else can't stop you, it's going to happen. So maybe that's where they come from. Like I said, I don't really know. I really haven't read enough or thought enough. I'm kind of digging through my own ideas as we're asking these questions, but I think it's fun. But yeah, I don't consider myself to know enough to be an authority on it.
Okay. Just because the idea that might makes right in terms of a moral sense is like the exact opposite of what anarchism is about.
Well, he doesn't think morals exist. Morals are also a spook. There's no morals don't exist.
I get that.
Technically, yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, the entire idea of anarchism is that statism is wrong, and that it either, aka, it doesn't exist, or do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because then it's like, oh, okay, well, the state had the might to do this, therefore, might is right, therefore, they were right in doing this. Well, no.
Yeah.
That obviously doesn't make any sense. If you claim to be an anarchist, yet support like a state like fucking Nazi Germany, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I think some of them, like there's another guy, Novatore, he was an Italian individualist anarchist and an illegalist. And illegalists do things that are illegal with no justification and claim that they need no justification because those are just spooks. He was kind of like the anarchist equivalent of like a Florida man is pretty much Novatore. Like, I'm not saying I have an issue with this, but he died in a literal shootout with like the fascist police in Italy. Like that's how he went out. Like, he just saw some fascist police and just took his gun out and started like shooting at him, trying to kill him. And then they shot back and killed him. Like, that's how he went out. And he lived his whole life. He believed, like, he straight up said this. He believed that anarchy was chaos. It was whatever you can do, you can do. Like, if I want to go burn your store down, what are you going to do to stop me? If I can burn it down, then your store's burned well. So he was kind of insane, but he's not really, I think him and Stern had some disagreements because he was a little off the deep end. The thing I really want to read is Marx's response to Stirner, because apparently Marx like really didn't like Stern. Like, Stirner just trolled Marx so much that supposedly he went into some like autistic meltdown. Like, Stirner just broke Marx's mind, and Marx actually wrote, like, there are more pages written by Marx critiquing Stirner than Stirner has written his own idea.
Shit.
Like, he just pissed off Mark so much, and I really admire him. It's hilarious. Like, trolled Mark until his brain snapped.
What do you mean I can't build a super state to create communism?
Spook. Yeah, Marx was like, what do you mean you don't care about the collective? You have to care about all the other people too. He said, you.
No.
Dude, he went to his own wife and said, fuck you, I'm opening a milk store. Bye. And then he ran it into the ground.
Oh, well, who cares that the people that are employed now? It was my money.
Store.
Dude, that's just so... That's just, like, the most insane thing. And the thing is, like, it wasn't even, like... He didn't even own cows. He wasn't even, like, a dairy producer. He just bought milk from all the surrounding farmers and sold it in a store in the middle of the town. So it was just a town, it was just a store, and the only thing on the shelves were milk.
What else do you need? What do you need?
What?
What do you need? Just milk. Who's ahead of his time?
That was Sterner's idea.
Sterner does?
Yeah, that's all he has. He has nothing else. He left his wife and took the money to open a milk store. He really has nothing else.
A wife is a spook.
The marriage certainly was.
Spooks are a spook.
Yeah, they are. Sterner.
Spookception.
Yes, I mean technically he was.
A spook is any concept in the mind that prevents you from acting how you would with that shackle removed. So like morality influences how you act, ethics influence how you act, private property rights influence how you act, other people influence how you act. So they're all spooks.
So basically the entire prefrontal cortex of the brain should just be removed and everything
becomes
spooks.
No, it doesn't have to be removed, because that was the other thing Sterner said, is as long as you acknowledge it's a spook and it has no true power over you, but if you can use it to benefit your own self-interest, you're free to do so. Like that's spook. What... Yeah, but you can still use it. You just have to acknowledge that it has no, like, real power. Like, that's what I was saying with, the anarcho-capitalist thing. Like, I just think that anarcho-capitalism is the best and most efficient system that would benefit me the most as an individual. I think, like, if I had to wake up tomorrow in any society, I think waking up in an anarcho-capitalistic society would benefit me the most. I would get the most benefit out of it. It's in my self-interest to be in that society. I think that private property rights, the non-aggression principle, I think those are good. I think they're efficient. I think they're beneficial. And I think I would gain from them. So therefore, that's the system I want in place. I can acknowledge that if I go shoot someone in the head, no rule is going to stop me from doing that. Because if I have the ability to do it, they're dead and I'm alive. So that happened, and nothing's going to stop that. But it's not in my benefit to do that, because I would feel bad, and their friends and family would also probably come and try to kill me.
I'm pretty sure, like Walter Block and I want to say Rothbard, even acknowledged, like, okay, you can do whatever you want, but like society as a functioning society is going to probably either like stop you or like punish
you're
you
gonna
for
get
doing
eaten.
So. Yeah, punish yeah. you for doing.
You're gonna be physically removed.
or
what?
Or you get away with it. That's the only other like.
I mean,
stipulation.
So that's pretty much from what I understand. That's pretty much what Sterner's argument is. It's like you being removed from the society, or being kicked out or being executed, doesn't benefit you. So you're really not going to benefit much from doing whatever bad thing you want to do. I mean, yeah. I don't do it because I think that, like I said, I think that the non-aggression principle is a beneficial system. I think it's a good system and a system that makes me feel good to adhere to. So I do.
What do you mean I can't break someone's skull for being racist?
Ancom has entered the chat.
Quinn has entered the chat.
there was one guy we were talking to. I don't want to say his name because not here to defend himself. But there's a 15-year-old different.
I already said the name.
Oh, true. Well, they don't know which name it is. They said a lot of names. Could have been Marx, Sterner, could have been
Karl Marx wakes up.
Karl Marx wakes up 15 years now. 15.
Karl Marx rolling in his grave.
So anyway, so there was a guy that we were talking, and no, this is actually a different 15-year-old Joe. You haven't said this guy's name yet.
Okay.
And there's a 15-year-old we know who claims to be like an anarcho-primitivist, but a lot of his cultural views are very fascistic. He's very anti anyone other than white. He's very anti anything other than straight, even though he's not straight and he hates himself for it. But he's okay, you know. But he's relatively,
and they're 14.
No, they're 15.
Oh, they aged? Fuck.
And their views are rather fascistic, but they really haven't hurt anyone, and I don't even think they have the capability to. And we were talking to someone who would consider themselves to be on the left side of the anarchist spectrum, and he openly said, because I was like, oh, a lot of people are Vancoms because they think that they'll murder for their ideas. And he was like, I mean, I'd probably murder 15-year-old. His ideas are pretty fascistic. So, yeah, I'd murder him. And he was just an ANCOM, well, not an ANCOM, but a left anarchist that was totally fine with just murdering a child because he had some ideas that weren't accepted. And then he also said that, who was the Nazi that got clocked? Was that Spencer? No.
Yeah.
Spencer. Was it Cantwell or Spencer? Spencer?
Spencer.
But yeah, so he also justified.
Cantwell is not a Nazi. He's a white supremacist.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well. At least he doesn't have socialist economic policy, I guess. I guess that's one positive. But or at least I don't know. Maybe he does now. I don't really pay much attention to him. But supposedly he used to be a pretty hard libertarian, and maybe he kept those economics and just took this. Maybe he's just Molyneux pilled. Who knows?
Maybe.
but anyway, so another example. I totally forget what I was gonna say. It was gonna it was
clocking a 15-year-old.
Oh no, not clocking.
Or murdering a 15-year-old.
No, we were past that. So this person was also saying that he thinks Richard Spencer talking about a crappy ideology was like running up and punching him in the side of the skull was like totally acceptable.
Wait,
and what?
So was this
speech
with
is
who I think? So was this conversation with who I think it is or was
an aquatic animal?
Ah, yeah.
yeah, and they said that they were totally fine with like this guy has ideas that could bring damage or that you don't like, so it's okay to just beat the shit out of them. And I think that that's one of the big issues between ANCOMs and ANCAPs. Because
I mean, at that point, you can kill all status. Then
that's where I was going to lead that to. I'm going to say if you follow that, basically anyone other than like a voluntarist ANCAP wants society to use some level of force and should be killed. That's not a very well functioning ideology.
I say what they respond with.
Oh, I didn't say it because I was like, oh, this guy seems a little unstable. I don't really.
Oh. Okay.
That 15-year-old said something that 15-year-old is having an identity crisis, so I went. I was like, yeah, I'm probably gonna stay out of this one.
Have a knuckle sandwich.
But there's some people. I mean, I wore an ANCAP patch on my jacket. I didn't wear it to this on purpose. It was just I put it on my jacket and I went to a concert. And it was a punk show, and a guy that I've known and spoken to for 3 years. We've always gotten along. Spoken to him a lot at multiple shows and out of shows. I've met him at places too. He was always a really nice dude. He saw that and walked up to me and said, "Is that patch for fucking ANCAP?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "I should punch your fucking teeth in right now." And then he went on to tell me that if I went to, well, first he kept telling me it was a paradox over and over. But since he drank too much, he couldn't tell me why it was a paradox. He was like, we'll have this conversation some other time. I don't like to talk politics when I'm drunk. And then after that, he says that if I wore it to a more inner city show, I don't know how familiar you are with any of you guys are with Jersey. Well, I feel like most of our listeners are from Jersey, but Trenton is a pretty rough area. Yeah. And it's a lot of hardcore white kids is a lot of the violent population there. And he basically told me that if I went to a show like that, where there's kids from the wrong side of the track, if they saw that patch, they would stab me. So I don't really go to a lot of those shows anymore because I think
punk concerts like that, they're always left leaning.
Oh, always. Yeah, I know. Dude, I went to one show. This was kind of fun. I went to a show and there was a band and they their shirts and their motto when they go on stage is, I don't even remember the band's name, but they're like, we're queer, we're here, and we're socialist. Like, that's their slogan, and that's on all their t-shirts. And my friend was wearing a shirt that in big letters on the front says cunt. And that's all that's on the shirt. It's a black shirt with that in white writing. This guy's awesome. I don't know what his politics are. He's super close with all the people in the punk scene because he just had 3 years of his life where he was constantly drunk and he would just go stumble around at these shows and introduce him to everyone. So everyone knows him. And he knows I'm an ANCAP. I mean, he saw when I founded my retired ANCAP meme page. Like, he's always known. And he's always been nice to me. Never had any problems. We've never even talked about politics. Like, he doesn't care. Which I wish everyone else there felt the same way. But so he was the one who wore that shirt, and the drummer stopped the show, and she was like, "There's a guy out there wearing a shirt that says cunt." And he just walks up, he goes, "Yeah?" And she says, "Take that shit off." And he's like, "Fucking serious?" She's like, "Yeah, take it off." So he takes it off, and then he's just like going around the pit for a little bit, and then eventually flips it inside out. And then the singer, he's like, "Yeah, you know, we always have to call, like, if one of our members is doing something that's insulting to a, forget whatever their word, if they're wearing something insulting or degrading to an oppressed group, like some word like that that's used to degrade women, you got to call that shit out, man." And they were like, "We'll," and then so he took it off, and then later he went out in the lobby after they finished, and they were like, "Yeah, bro, we just don't want you wearing that shirt because now it's degrading to women." They were like, "We'll give you one of our shirts for free." And he was like, "I don't want your shirt. Fuck you." Then he went back in the car. Dude's awesome. But anyway,
maybe he should have just had the word anal in front of it. That'd be good.
But so yeah, and then this band later in the show was like, "You know, we're a peaceful group. And like, if you disagree with us, we would love to talk to you in the lobby about those disagreements." And I went out there and I tried. I didn't say that I was an ANCAP because I knew that I would get killed. But I asked them like two questions about their ideas, and they were like, "Yeah, you know, it's just like this, like just the most dull, like, you're annoying the hell out of me. Please leave me alone." Voice I've ever gotten from someone. that was just claiming to be like super nice and talk about it. And it sucks because punk genre wise really is one of my favorite kinds of music, but I can't handle the shows anymore, especially now that I have people looking for me.
Jeez, yeah.
So I mean, the people that are about, just a heads up that the people that claim to be open, accepting, anti-establishment, individualist, if you disagree with their established views, they will try to kill you. Just because those ideas are contradictory at all.
That's the only way, dude. Like, yeah. Honestly. like you have to kill every non-believer. It's almost like the Crusades or something.
I just think it's funny. Like, Bo Burnham made a joke about this. his older albums, where he says all the goth kids that dress exactly the same because they don't want to Yeah, it's like there's these movements where like the whole point of the movement is being accepting of outsiders, but if you're an outsider, they just will demolish you. It's
like the right kind of outsider.
Exactly. So you have to be their insider, which is exactly what they tried to get away from. It's kind of like the difference between religion and religious freedom. And there's the big difference there that the Puritans had when they first came over. They didn't want freedom of religion. They wanted religious freedom. They wanted to be able to be Puritans away from the Church of England and not be persecuted for it. But they were totally fine with persecuting anyone of any other religions or any other belief systems, because they wanted to have the freedom to practice their belief. They had no interest in other people having that same freedom. And that's how a lot of these movements work. The only time I ever feel like that is if it's a group that wants to kill me. I really don't feel bad if something happens to them. But I guess that's a good way to tie it back to the police brutality thing.
Yeah, really, anyone who's not licking their boots is a fucking enemy, basically.
Well, not only that, but I'd say that a lot of the people, I kind of take the Eric July position, that most of the people that are getting grabbed are the people that have been asking for this for 20 years, and are the people that have been trying to use this.
I think I heard this analogy of I'm the older brother intervening with my dumbass younger brother to get him out of stupid shit for his own safety, you know? Like, I think in principle, it obviously would be justified to stop the fucking feds. But then after you save their fucking bacon, you have to tell them, like, this is why you shouldn't support a big fucking government and all these social programs, because they're just going to grow, and so are the police, and then they're going to come right back around and bite you.
Well, it's only growing because there's all those damn libertarian Republicans support. Bernie was in charge, this never would have
happened. Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah,
you're right.
So that's the thing, is that they're not going to learn. That's the issue.
They're always worried about the fucking fascist, you know, state, like with Trump. Trump's literally Hitler and all that shit. Well, it's like, well, how about we fucking get rid of that power? It's like, no. We need the power for these social programs.
Well, we need the power. We just need the right person that is 100% more acceptable. Basically,
the one that will never get that position.
Basically, an angel. We need a supernatural deity to come down and run the government for us.
Right.
That was actually, I think, that was a Henry David Thoreau quote, where he basically says, like, the only time that you should have a government is if it's run by angels, because other than that, it's gonna lead to corruption, and all that damage is gonna cause more problems than it would solve. Or his other is, if men are inherently good, you don't need a government because they're good. You don't need anything to keep them in mind. If men are inherently evil, you shouldn't dare to have a government. So either way, yeah, you shouldn't have one.
Chris Carlton, I think, made a similar quote, a very similar one.
Since we're on Chris's with the last name that starts with a K, closed down all the beaches and then sat on it like a beached whale with his family.
He's a badass.
But since he works in the government, like he has to be able to spend time with his family.
Right.
Like,
of course.
Like, we don't matter. All we do is have our money stolen from us to pay his paycheck. But he's out there talking to people, and I mean, it's his job to kick people off the beach for I don't know why. So it's just the rules. Just like when
obey the law.
Yeah.
Just dude, like that's another thing too.
When this lockdown first, you're good. Oh, this will be the last point I make on this. But when this lockdown first started, there was a governor. I forget which. I think it was Chicago. So not governor, but like the mayor of Chicago. She went. Is she the one that kind of looks like a skeleton? I mean, there's a few that do, but I think she's one. She doesn't quite look as bad as RBG. There's a different skeleton she looks like. She doesn't quite look like the Crypt. There's a different. And kind of like Skeletor. my roads. And basically, she went and got a haircut in the lockdown when she closed all the other barbershops. And someone was like, how come you get to get a haircut? And she was like, I got to be in front of the cameras, so I have to look good to represent our city well.
Oh, fuck.
And that was her legit response to finding people and possibly locking them in a cage for and then even when they're not in a lockdown, she'd lock you in a cage for getting one without getting government permission to cut hair. God forbid you cut hair without a license that takes 900 hours, which is more than it takes to go through the police academy.
Yep.
That's the fun thing, is that you have to go to school longer to get a cosmetology degree than you do to have to be a cop.
Yeah, isn't that fucked up?
Mm-hmm. Well, because you're actually providing a service, so you know they want you.
Oh, that's true. That makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think gang members go through much training, so I guess you're right.
They just go through initiation. That's it.
Yeah, they just beat you in. Yeah. Jumped in.
I hate the whole just wear the mask thing. Just wear the mask. Oh, is yeah. Literally, just the new just obey the law. And yeah, I literally told. I asked a fucking group of like cop haters on Facebook this. Because I posted, I'm like, you know, cops are all enforcing this fucking lockdown bullshit, right? I asked them, I said, okay, so what happens when a fucking black person or black business owner says, fuck you, I'm not wearing a mask, and a police officer ends up shooting them? Are you going to say, Black Lives Matter and all cops are bastards? You're going to say, oh, you should have obeyed the law. Like, what are you going to say then? And they wouldn't fucking give me an answer. And they just would keep trying to... The one guy is like, oh, this is just a bullshit comparison. If I see someone not wearing a mask, I'm just going to beat their ass. I'm like, fucking stupid, dude.
That's what the cops do.
I know. You're actually like a cop.
I don't like that plant that you have. Give it to me or else I'm going to throw a flash bomb in your baby's and shoot your dog and then find out I'm in the wrong house.
Yeah, really. Oh my gosh, I really hate people who aren't consistent with the all cops are bastards thing, man.
I just want to see like a cop, like someone. We should make like a one thing that I've always wanted to do. Like, whenever someone asked me what I wanted to do with my life, and I'm kind of still here, like a dream career. I don't see it happening really. We don't have enough. I don't think there would be enough people that would watch the show for me to make a living off it as well as the guy I'm about to name, but. I always thought it'd be sick to be like the Steven Crowder, but for anarcho-capitalism. Like all the kinds of things that he does, talk show stuff, cast stuff, stuff, sketch yeah. comedy. Like all that is stuff that I've always been super interested in. But I want to do it all except for like anarcho-capitalism. I just don't think that I would be able to live off it because I don't think we would get the same viewership he does because he is like 50% of the country's ideological system, and we're probably like.
Yeah.
2%, probably 0.5%.
I will say Steven Crowder as a comedian is really good. Like he is funny. There's no doubting that.
Yeah, he definitely has some funny bits, but a lot of his ideas kind of half-assed.
They're just fucking typical conservatards.
Yeah. He's like the cool conservative. Says funny things sometimes and is on Blaze TV. It's like Gavin McGinnis, but a little worse.
Dude, I really think this was mentioned in some comment on YouTube. I was like, you know, it would be awesome to see Eric July and Steven Crowder in the same room. That would be awesome.
Dude, I was listening to this. There was a Eric July. He did like a live stream like a week ago where he was just like gunning after everyone that called him a fascist on Twitter. He just live streamed it. He was like, all these called me a fascist, so they can call me and talk about it. And it actually wasn't that stream, but the day after he did a stream on Facebook, and there was one part. This was so funny. But he's talking about these people that are like talking shit on him for a reason and not able to back up their opinion when he challenges them on it. And he's like, these bitch ass these suckers, man. I can't take it. And then later he was like, I'm trying to keep it clean in case there's like a family watching or some stuff, man. But these suckers out here, man. But dude, it was so funny the way that he like stopped himself and looked in the camera, and it was like these suckers, man.
He's just like, oh shit, sorry.
And all the comments are like, a little hood came out. I see.
Both of them write for plays, though. So, like, they could have a back and forth.
Oh, dude, I would love to see him and Crowder.
That's why I would love to see that happen. I think or him and Ben Shapiro.
Oh, dude, that'd be funnier. Because the thing is, like, Crowder is kind of funny, but Shapiro is just like a joke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it would be really funny to see, like, Shapiro. Well, the thing is, you see, let's just say for sake of argument, you need a central monopolized force in order to take people's money to put a piece of asphalt on the ground. Tired of you motherfucking state talking about these bitch ass whole ass roads.
Sounds like socialism, bro.
That'd be so good. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, there's a farmer and he has a dog. And his name is Bingo. B-I-N-G-O. B-I-N-G-O. Mr. Shapiro, I know how to spell Bingo. B-I-N-G-O. All right, security, get him out of here. Wait, but that wasn't an answer. Welcome to Libtard Wrecked Chapter 34. Libtard, get out of here.
Oh my gosh. Oh, jeez. Did you see the Freedom Tunes episode where Seamus literally took the video? Seamus took the video of Ben reacting to a Freedom Tunes video and just made it another video. It's fucking hilarious.
I gotta check that out.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Oh, it was fantastic. Shapiroception.
dude, that would be hilarious. I think they agree on those things because they're in the same vein, but even they actually have kind of, but Shapiro and fucking Crowder, the same thing. Even that was pretty, Steven Crowder, like, a little gay sometimes, and Shapiro is like, oh, I waited till marriage to have sex with my wife. I don't like the gays. Yeah. and there was actually there. So in the episode, I guess Crowder on his merch site, he sells these, like, they're like those elastic boxer briefs. They're like the compression shorts, and he sells like the short compression shorts, and that's all he was wearing on the bottom for this interview with Ben Shapiro. And Ben Shapiro didn't know he was going to do this, and he was just like, "I'm really uncomfortable with you not wearing pants right now." And he, like, grabs his hand, and he's like, touch the pants, Ben. Come on, Ben, just touch the pants. He's like, I don't want to touch your pants, Steven. Please don't make me touch your pants.
Oh, my gosh.
And he, like, stands up, and he's, like, tugging on him, pulling him up to, like, flex him under his junk and stuff. And Ben's like, oh, this is really gay. I don't like this. Oh, libtard wrecked. I don't like this. You're acting like a real libtard.
There's no liberals here.
Right now.
I can wreck. I can destroy you with facts and logic. I'm triggered.
Speaking of facts and logic, when ANCAPs bring that up, then those facts and logic don't make sense. But all right, so
yeah, really.
Yeah. Well, you don't have facts. You have facts. You have bad facts. You have fake facts. You have fake CNN. Facts. You have CNN facts. You have fake news
fake facts.
Actually, I don't watch CNN, so get wrecked, libtard.
I only watch Sean Hannity. Dude, I, it's not going to happen because we have, like, listeners, but I really want Ben Shapiro to hear this episode and talk.
That'd be fucking hilarious.
And, like, he like, invites all of his little show.
I'm going to wreck these libtards.
Like, we sit down, and the first thing that he says, like, so, for argument's sake, you love socialism. We're like, no, nope, that's not it at all. And he's like, You must think girls should be in the Boy Scouts, but it's in the name Boy Scouts that they can't, because you have to have a penis to be in the Boy. Like, no, we don't. I kind of think that they'd, Boy Scouts should be in the Boy Scouts, girls should be in the Girl Scouts, and then they could have scouts, just generic scouts for both. Like, okay with that. How many genders are there? I don't know. Is it a, I mean, there's two sexes. I don't know where to go from here. I never got this far.
Jeez.
Do you think socialism is when the government does stuff? Yeah, like police and a border wall and Congress and stuff like
sure, capitalism.
We just like make Ben Shapiro get like cognitive dissonance as a socialist and it explodes.
I would fucking love that, man. I seriously used to like, I used to listen to Ben Shapiro a lot when I was a conservative.
I listened, so. I didn't listen to him that much because even then I thought he was a little, but I used to be a pretty big Crowder fan. But, and I don't watch him anymore, but I'm probably the same way a Crowder fan, even though I watch him as I am like a Joe Rogan fan, where his non-political stuff I think is funny. And then like his gun stuff is good. Like he, Crowder did one bit that I still think is hilarious, where he had a table of, it was basically the way to show that people that advocate for gun control have no clue what they're talking about. And he had a table covered in guns. And there was like a 30-06 hunting rifle. There was like an AR chambered in .223. And then there was a, what's it, the Ruger? There's like a Ruger that looks like a hunting rifle, but it shoots .223 and fits the same mag capacity. It's basically an AR, but it looks like a hunting rifle. I think it's like the Ruger 122. I forget exactly what it is. But it shoots the same caliber, same speed. It's internally, it's an AR. But externally, yeah. It's mostly wood, so it looks like a hunting rifle. And he's asking these people, he's like, yeah, so look at these. What do you, so you say like common sense gun control. What do you mean by common sense? And like, well, I mean, you shouldn't be able to have that black one. He was like, oh yeah, I hate the black ones. They are the worst. I totally agree with you. And then he's like, okay, so like this one's okay? And it's 22-23. And they're like, yeah, that one's okay, just not that, not military-looking one. And he's like, oh, yeah, I totally agree. And then they're pointing at, like, the rounds, and he's like, which of these rounds do you think are okay? And they pointed to the 30-06 rifle. They're like, yeah, that's a hunting rifle. You should be able to have that. And then they point to the, and then they say, you can't have the AR. And then they point and say the .223 is an acceptable bullet, and the 30-06 round is way too big, and you don't need that. And he's just kind of showing off, and he's talking to them like he's talking to them like he is also stupid and doesn't know it. Like, the one issue I had with the video is he never teaches these people like that they're wrong. He doesn't. He's never like
what?
Okay, what? Like
that's what
like
he should have done.
I know that's well, my one issue with the video.
Scared and like call the cops.
But the one thing that I've considered is whenever I don't know how it works in Texas. I think it's the same. But in most places, you have, like, on a lot of those shows, are you guys familiar with the Carbonaro effect?
No.
It's kind of like Impractical Jokers. It's also on True TV, except the dude's a magician named Michael Carbonaro. And he just, like, does magic tricks on people and, like, messes with them and their reaction and stuff. And I actually know a guy personally who went on the show. They had blooper reels on, and I was like, oh, my God, is that Don? And I messaged him, and I was like, yo, were you on the Carbon effect? He was like, yeah, but I don't think I was good because it never aired. And I was like, no, they only took it off because you knew it was a prank. And so they put it in their blooper file of where they messed up. And he told me, I was like, so like, how did these shows, because I was one of like Impractical Jokers, like how much of that staged? And I was like, what did they tell you going in? He was like, I legit thought I was going for a job. Like he applied for a job interview. Gets there, this dude screws with him and like, hey, if we get TV, I'll give you. And then he just took it, and that was the end of it. And that's how all those shows work. And so what I'm wondering is if Crowder did the same thing when he went out for the release form and was like, "Can I use you in my comedy skit?" I wondered if he was like, "And just so you know, you're wrong about everything." I don't know if he did that. That would be the only way I could justify it. But that was like, it was funny to watch. But when I watched it, my issue with it would have been that he didn't take that as a learning opportunity to actually educate people on what's really going on. He just like played along. He played along with them for the sake of the joke, which was funny, but I don't think it was overall beneficial.
Can you send me that video? I want to watch it now.
Yeah, I'll try to find it. Send me the Liberty Tunes or whatever of Ben Shapiro. I'll send you.
Okay.
You could just post it in the.
Yeah, I'll just post it in the Discord. Chat thing. Since we didn't do it in Anchor this time, like we said, we.
Oh fuck.
It's fine. Yeah. Next time, maybe. Maybe, possibly. Who knows? You never know. Maybe so, or what it's saying is. Yes, no, maybe so. I think that's what it is. But, I mean, I think this is pretty good. We're a little over now.
This
was a pretty good, pretty solid episode. We did derail. That's usual, and I think it was a funny derailment. So, I think it was... We imagined Ben Shapiro's head exploding because he debated an anti-capitalist and tried to frame him as a socialist.
It's...
So pretty fun.
It's kind of like in Videodrome. That's the only thing that I ever imagine when I hear someone's head exploding.
But does anyone have any final ideas to wrap up on?
No. I mean, all cops are bastards, and
Even
when they enforce shit you agree with.
Yeah.